Well, good morning and welcome to Palm Sunday services. Amos has asked me to help lead worship this morning, but don't worry, you'll see and hear plenty of him shortly. Can I congratulate so many of you for managing to put your clocks forward this morning to join us live on Zoom. As you'll have seen in the housekeeping, our services will continue on Zoom this incoming week on Monday, Thursday and Good Friday at 7:30. Next Sunday, though, sees us back in our returning to our church building, and we hope to see as many of you as possible there, although we are limited to 50, but the details will come out in the email that is sent before each of the services. So there will be a flurry of emails this week with three services coming in 4 days. We're alternating during April between Zoom and in church, so one Sunday on one platform and one on another. Details are all included in the latest copy of the journal, which is currently being delivered. If you haven't received one or don't receive one, it's available on our church website or email in, and we can either email a copy to you or get a paper copy to you. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift him up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. So let us sing and glorify that King with our first hymn, All Glory, Lord and Honour.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, in your tender love for mankind, you sent your Son as Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death on the cross, so that all mankind might follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Father, we bow before you, confessing our unworthiness and our sin. You sent your Son to show us the way of life, yet we have erred from it continually. You have shown him to us as King, and we have seen his glory, yet while praising him with our lips, we have not been loyal to him with our lives. We have followed our own pleasures. We have refused the way of the cross. Help us, O Father, to draw ever closer to you and forgive us our sins through the merits of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now sing our next hymn, Ride on in majesty.
Continue our worship with our reading. Our first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Abraham tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moria. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father."
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found the colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Amen. I will continue with the next hymn, "Hosanna, loud Hosanna."
Yeah.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly pray you help us in these holy days to meditate on your saving acts in your Son. Let the noise of the world be hushed that we may hear your voice. Teach us to wait on you. Teach us to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, and to lay down our life that we may find it again, and bring us into the fellowship of the love which he endured on the cross. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. That is how the crowd that turned out to greet Jesus Christ as he entered Jerusalem expressed their joy in seeing the Savior of the world. It was their own way of worshiping the one they believed had come to rescue them from their bondage, whatever that was. So in Mark 11, we enter into the Passion narrative. Having just heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus identifying with Jesus, or identifying who Jesus is, Son of David, have mercy on me. His first cry is followed by rebuke, and Bartimaeus cries out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus responds to his request for sight and says, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. As Jesus and his disciples make their way from Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, he commissions two disciples, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. Now, the Apostle Mark draws our attention to the word immediately in the English Standard Version of the Bible, and follows it up with a second occurrence. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say this, the Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. The immediacy of the stories that lead into and inaugurate the Passion narrative is signaled by the three occurrences of the adverb immediately at chapter 10, 52, chapter 11, 2 and 3. So the Passion is the opportune time of the immediacy of God's reign breaking in through the death and resurrection of God's Son, the Son of David, in David's city. As Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus on the way into the city of Jerusalem, we too are called to follow in the procession that now commences to the cross. But for us to do that, we need to understand how and why the crowds honored the Lord in that triumphal entry. So how did they honor the Lord? We are told from our text that when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it and he sat on it. That was an honor. And then many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. In other words, they worshipped him. How and with what are you and myself worshipping the Lord? And then secondly, why did they worship Jesus? Because they recognized that he had come into the world to liberate them. He was their savior. But the problem was their sense of liberation was from the perspective of a political cause that involved their subjugation to the Romans. However, Jesus had come to suffer and to die for our sins. Dear friends, it is very easy to miss out this dimension of the suffering servant of God, especially in cases where churches celebrate Jesus' grand entrance into Jerusalem at Palm Sunday and jump to Easter Sunday without walking with Christ through his bitter passion on the cross. It is a false impression to think that Christianity moves from one celebration to another. What Mark's gospel does is to bring out Jesus' enormous suffering, bearing witness to his terrible loneliness amid the deafening applause on Palm Sunday. Therefore, if we hail Jesus, we must hail him as the one who comes to die for our sins, not as the one who comes to bring us glory and instant liberation from all our physical problems. We must hail him as one who gives his life for the kingdom of God, not as one who sets up the kingdom of David. So again, the crowd shouted, "Hosanna, save us," thinking that Jesus had come to save them from their political enemies. But they were wrong. And their judgment of his reason for coming was altogether false. We don't need Jesus to save us from our political enemies. We need strong and trustworthy governments to do that, and a conscientious people. What we need most is for Christ to save us from ourselves. Human nature and aspirations change very little over the years, and so we need liberation from ourselves. As Robert Louis Stevenson commented, in each of us, two natures are at war, the good and the evil. All our lives, the fight goes on between them, and one of them must conquer. But in our own hands lies the power to choose what we want most in our own lives. And only Jesus can help us make a helpful choice. And dear friends, we need also to be saved from foolish expectations of glory so that we can see God's power truly effected on the cross. God does not win by sending armies into bloody battles, but by sending his son to the cross. As a king who gives his life for others, Jesus reigns with a kind of power that earthly kings cannot match. But I want to learn again that the people who came to worship Jesus during that triumphal entry did so because they had a need to feel. They were longing for freedom. They were longing to be liberated. And friends, it's hard to enjoy anything if we do not long for it. I like the confession of Augustine of Hippo. "Great are you, O Lord, and exceedingly worthy of praise. Your power is immense, and your wisdom beyond reckoning. And so we men who are a due part of your creation long to praise you. We also carry our mortality about with us, carry the evidence of our sin, and we take the proof that you thwart the proud. You arouse us so that praising you may bring us joy, because you have made us and drawn us to yourself. and our heart is restless until it rests in you. It's a famous passage from St. Augustine's Confessions, and I think it is about our inner emptiness that can only be filled through worship. If we are longing for God to liberate us from our sins and ourselves, then we've got to be passionate about our faith and our worship. The French have a proverb which states that a good meal ought to begin with hunger. It is hard to enjoy a meal when you are not yet hungry. But when you are hungry, anything tastes good. Effective worship begins with a hunger for God. If we approach the word and approach God with a hunger to be satisfied, we will be satisfied every time. True biblical worship satisfies our total personality to the extent we don't need to wander around for man-made substitutes to fill our emptiness. Palm Sunday is about worship. And in worship, we bring our problems to God and leave them there, so that no matter the challenges we face, all that matters to us is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Joni Erickson had a terrible accident that left her quadriplegic. In spite of her physical limitations, she became an accomplished author and artist, and later got married to her husband, Kane. For her wedding, she had planned to come down the center aisle in her motorized wheelchair. Just before her grand entrance, she noticed two distressing problems. First, she had rolled over her beautiful gown and made a big grease spot and tear in it. Then the flowers in her lap had slipped and had lodged between her leg and the chair. She was filled with disappointment. And then suddenly the doors to the auditorium opened and she saw her husband to be. Here was the man who was committing his love and his life to her. Johnny later said, "Once I saw Ken's face, all I could think of was him. Everything else, the people in the church, the flowers that were sitting a little askew on my lap, the fact that my dress didn't fall right because I was sitting in a wheelchair, the grease marks, the rip in my gown, all of it paled in comparison." Friend, when we see Christ as we experience him in true worship, he will be all that matters to us. I don't know how you came to worship this Palm Sunday morning, but I can only guess, as I have done before. Are there tears in your eyes or in your heart because of some disappointing news that you've had concerning future plans or some great expectations that have fallen through? Is it sickness or fear or anxiety about some crucial aspect of your life for which you need to make a decision and you don't know what to do? Is it bereavement that someone really near and dear to you passed on, and you are wondering what kind of life this is? All of us have our secret sorrows and worries that beset us, but I want to encourage you this morning that as you come to worship the triumphal Lord, remember that in his presence all our troubles pale in comparison to the love that he has for us. When we lift up our hands in praise and worship, we break spiritual jars of perfume over Jesus. The fragrance of our praise fills the whole earth and touches the heart of God. God give us the hunger for him and enable us to bow at the feet of the cross and worship Jesus. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we come to you, O Father, because we need you. We thank you for the people who worshiped you during that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as they came to you with their needs, Father, we bring us to you in worship, that you will take our burdens away from us and give us peace. Bless us in our journeys of faith, and grant that we may ever trust you, because you alone are our God and can't be trusted. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, King of Kings, Majesty.
God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne.
Let us come together in prayer once again. Let us pray. We pray to you, Lord of palm branches and the cross, for you understand us, and in love, you have promised not to push away any who come to you. Almighty God, we ask you to hear our prayers today for the church, the world, the local community, and people in particular need. God of mercy and love, we pray for the Christian church throughout the world. During this Holy Week, we ask you to encourage all Christians to draw close to you for their strength and comfort. We particularly remember those Christians who suffer persecution as a result of their faith. We pray for our parish, our cluster in North Fife, and our presbytery. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us so that we can show your love for each other and the local community. We pray for all who bring comfort, care, and healing. We give thanks for human love and friendship, and for all that enriches our daily lives. Creator God, we pray for your world. We pray for the nations of the world embroiled in long-term conflicts, and for communities scarred by political unrest and upheaval. Grant wisdom to the world's decision makers, especially here in Scotland, as we start moving towards elections in May. Guide them all to work for people, for peace, and the well-being of all people. We pray for world leaders to understand their role to serve the peoples of the world, that posturing will be replaced by practical action to make a difference, and jockeying for position be replaced by genuine efforts to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for those who are weak. We particularly pray for all countries battling against the COVID pandemic and ask for a spirit of cooperation to find a way to protect all people. Father God, we thank you for all those who help our community to run smoothly because of their jobs, voluntary work, or neighbourliness. Help us to be supportive and encouraging and step into situations where we can serve. Bless our neighbours and strengthen those who are working in your name in order to bring healing and comfort to those in need. Merciful God, we know that there are many people who are struggling due to illness, lack of employment, financial problems, loneliness, or the loss of loved ones, either recently or at this time of year. We also pray for those who have recently lost those whom they have loved. In the shock, confusion, pain and sorrow, especially of unexpected loss, we pray for hearts to be open to the comfort of your Spirit, shown through friendship and community, and as deep calls to deep. Almighty God, we ask you to draw close so that they may be aware of your healing presence, and we ask you to provide your peace and comfort for them at this time. We ask, God of grace, that you will make us more like some of the crowd, that we will follow Jesus and give him our praise in the way that we live, that we will turn away from wrong and evil and stand on the Master's side, that we will be faithful in worshipping the one who has come in the Lord's name through our singing, our worship, our prayers, our attention, in giving our skills, time and means through these days of our lives, and in the offerings which we make to you. Bless, we pray, all that is given to your glory and the good of many. Let our enthusiasm be infectious to those we meet, and may others be drawn to you, especially in this most holy of weeks, through Jesus, who is Saviour of all. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. A God who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.